Welcome to the People Powered Business Podcast. I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. If you employ staff, engage contractors, or rely on people to help deliver your products or services, you're in the right place. Join us each week as we dive in to uncover what makes people tick, learn the best strategies and tactics to build an amazing team, and most importantly, discover how you, the business owner or leader, can unleash the power of your people to help create the successful business you deserve. Let's get started. Hello and welcome to episode number 23 of the People Powered Business Podcast. Hi, I'm your host, Christy Lee Billett. Thank you so much for joining me here today on the podcast. I hope whatever you're up to today, you're having a fabulous day and you've been having an amazing week since our last episode. I really appreciate you joining me here on the podcast each and every week. And I was going to ask a little favour of you today, and that is this. If you have been enjoying the podcast or a particular episode you found really useful, I would absolutely love it if you wouldn't mind spending a couple of minutes popping over to the Apple Podcast app and leaving a review on the podcast. That really helps others to know that the information here on the podcast is valuable and informative and entertaining. And if you found any particular episode or the series of the podcast in itself helpful and interesting, I would really appreciate it if you wouldn't mind taking a couple of minutes and heading over to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a review. Thank you in advance. Now, on today's episode of the podcast, I actually have a shorter episode for you, which is really a bit of fun because in the world of HR and managing people and leading teams in business, things sometimes baffle us. Sometimes things happen that we can't quite get our head around and can't quite believe. And today I'm sharing with you a whole bunch of stories that are basically HR horror stories. Stories that make you think, what the? Things that you really wouldn't ever expect to happen at work. And why am I sharing these with you? Well, firstly, because it is a little bit of fun, because it can be so serious when we're having to deal with these things in the workplace and deal with staff and deal with employees, and we're in the midst of it all. It's super stressful and very, very serious. And sometimes we just need to have a little laugh at the situation, which we can only do in hindsight, because we can't do it when we're in the middle of dealing with putting out whatever fire it is that we're dealing with. The other reason I want to share these stories with you is to let you know that if you have a staffing drama or something happens with one of your staff that you think is inconceivable, you're not alone. We've all been there. Some of the stories I'm going to share with you today are my personal stories of experiences that I've had either within my business or within other businesses that I've worked for in the past as an employee. And also some stories that my community has shared with me over on our Facebook group, which is called Team Footprint. And I'll put a link to that in today's show notes. But I asked that group whether they had any stories they'd be willing to share and that I could confidentially share here on the podcast with you. And they had some pretty good ones. So I'm going to share some of those with you today. Now, I'm going to give you about 10 great stories today, but I can tell you I could probably give you 1,000. These are some of my favourites because they're some of the ones that have shocked me the most. But perhaps you've got others that you'd like to share with us as well. And I would love to hear from you if you do have some more. And in fact, in preparing for today's episode, I was reminded about some horror interview experiences that I'd heard of or been a part of as well. And I might do a whole other episode on those because some of those are equally as dumbfounding. And that's really from the employer's perspective. But today, really, we're talking about things that your staff do that make you think, what? What the? For real? Things that leave you speechless. Things that you can't even believe are happening. Or that they're justifying. I think that can be the funniest thing. And they're stories of things that you just would rather avoid. So part of what I'm going to share with you today is not only the stories, although that's the entertainment factor, there's no doubt about that, but things you can put in place, things you can do to avoid having to deal with these things in your business, or in fact, if you do have to deal with them, having a way, a measure, a protection in place so that you can immediately deal with the situation and potentially even exit the employee, because in some of these cases, that is exactly what you would be wanting to do. So let's dive in and talk about some of the amazing things that some of our less fabulous employees have done in the past. The first story I want to share with you is one of personal experience, and I'll give you some backstory here. I was very, very early, very young in my career. I think I would have been about 21 when this happened, and I was working at the time in a recruitment agency, and my specialty was working on the temp desk. So those of you who aren't familiar, and I'm talking back in late 90s, early 2000s here, the temp desk was the hub of the recruitment agency in many cases. It was very busy, and we would be responsible for having temp staff, so casuals effectively, that we would screen and interview and do all the checks, go out and work on our client site. And so that I was in charge of the temp desk. That was my job. So on any given day, I had, maybe 70 different temps out at up to 50 different clients' premises. So some clients would have multiple temps, others would only have one or two. And I was, as I said, very new to the game of recruitment. And this is probably not an unusual story to tell, but I didn't intentionally end up being in a recruitment agency working. It was one of those things I fell into, and had a conversation with someone else this week, in fact, about falling into work. So I was there organising temps. I was interviewing, I was screening and sending them off to clients, and in the most part, they were fabulous. But I did very early on get a call from a client. It was just after lunchtime, to let me know that our temp had passed out drunk in the toilets during their lunch break. Didn't really know what to do with that piece of information in that moment, I must admit, but we arranged very safely to get said temp taken home in a taxi and off-site with the client, and managed to salvage the relationship with that client, which was, thankful I was able to do that. However, it's certainly the first time I had encountered an employee being not only drunk at work, but passed out. They were that drunk, and in fact had worked very well until their lunch break. So had shown no signs of being under the influence until lunchtime, and had consumed a fair amount during their lunch break by the sounds. Now, I don't know whether you've had that happen in your workplace before, but I was dumbfounded. I was in total and complete shock. And to this day, 20 years later, I have never, ever had to deal with something like that again, thankfully. But in terms of what we can learn from that particular story, of course, is to have a very solid drug and alcohol policy in place in your business, so that if that is to happen, you have an immediate way to performance manage the employee, potentially exit them from the business if the circumstance warrants it. But definitely having that in place, and particularly when you're dealing with staff that are working at different sites, how you're going to monitor that. I know a lot of businesses do spot checks and tests on their employees to make sure that it's not only about the reputation, obviously, to the business, and this role was an administration or a reception role, I think, from memory, but it's also about the safety of the person, the safety of those around them, and if they're operating machinery, if they're doing any of those things, there's a much broader and wider safety risk. So horror story number one is when you get a call from a client telling you that your temp has fallen down drunk during their lunch break. Not one I want to repeat again. The second story is one that still baffles me, but I know people still do it, to be honest, and it's not nearly as bad as the first one, but it is when people think that it's appropriate to bring their children to a corporate interview for a position. And I can tell you, I've had this happen to me more than once. And I know other businesses that have absolutely had this happen, where they've just popped their child sitting down in their waiting room and thought that was entirely appropriate. I find this especially baffling when they have not asked the question whether that would be okay to do, and also when they're going for a very senior corporate full-time position where their child would have to be ordinarily taken care of in some other way in order for them to attend work. As I said, I've had it happen multiple times, and I know of many businesses that have as well, and I find it dumbfounding that someone would think that that's appropriate. Now, as I said earlier, I've got a whole range of interview horror stories, but that's just one that comes to mind, and the lesson I learned there was to very thoroughly screen before you're even getting people in for an interview, because the interview takes so much time, doesn't it? And if you can reduce the number of people you're interviewing by really effectively screening, hopefully you're avoiding having these instances, shall I say, where someone that is obviously not up for the task turning up to interview. Because I think, you know, in a corporate role, if you're going to need to bring your children in, you would courteously ask that question and arrangements could be made. And in fact, I have had people ask it and said, look, they're you know, can take care of themselves. Do you mind if they just sit next to me because I can't get a sitter for that time tomorrow? No problems. That's courtesy and we work through it. It's when they don't flag it, don't ask it, but still think it's entirely appropriate. And then my receptionist had to keep them occupied the entire time they were there. So that's my second story. Now, my third story is a story that I did not personally experience, but did come from our community. And actually this one, even I don't usually get surprised by it too much. This one shocked me. This is a story of an employee inviting their boyfriend into the offices after hours. They were getting ready to go out for the evening. And the employee allowed the boyfriend to access the work computers, and he thought it appropriate to replace the screensavers on all of the work computers with fairly lewd pictures. So when everyone turned up at work the next day, and I think it might have been the next Monday morning, they were greeted with some fairly graphic images on their screensavers on all of the computers. And there were, I think, between 5 and 10 computers in the office that he had managed to access and do this to. Now, needless to say, that's not ideal. Not only have you let your boyfriend into the workplace after hours, which is probably a no-no at the best of times, then providing him with the passwords to all of the work computers and allowing him to go ahead and change the screensavers, clearly not exemplary employee behaviour. Now, in this case, thankfully, the employer had a great policy, a workplace property policy, and was actually able to terminate the employee immediately based on their breach of that policy. But that is something that I think you just wouldn't ever conceive it happening. So you wouldn't think you'd need to have a policy for something like that. But this is where this area of protection can be so important. So having a policy that protects your company property, protects the use of that property, and the employees responsible for the use of that property from doing anything negligent or inappropriate, obviously in this case was very beneficial because that was an immediate out-the-door kind of situation. My next story is a classic. I actually refer to this quite a lot, again, because I was quite, this is a personal experience story, and I was quite young in my leadership career. I'd been in the business world for a few years at this time. And I remember so distinctly this scenario. There was an employee who was part of my team. She was fairly new to the business and she took very good care of herself. She was presented immaculately, you know, lovely hair, lovely nails, all those things. And she used to think it quite appropriate to spend quite a lot of time, a lot of time at work grooming her nails, filing her nails, making sure they were immaculate, quite a lot of time. Now, she spent so much time doing that in fact she would sit there and file her nails as opposed to taking a call that had come in for her. Now, I remember this so distinctly because I was floored. I could not believe that anyone would do that. And directly looking at my face said to me, it's very important that my nails are done and I won't be picking up the call until that's been done. Now, as someone that was fairly young in their management and leadership journey at the time, I probably didn't handle that as delicately and effectively as I might have or I might do now, that's for sure. And I remember getting very angry at her and ultimately doing the job for her because she was point blank refusing it. I literally could not believe it. Now, ultimately, she very soon after left our organisation, but the lesson learned there is you must equip the people that are going to lead others in your business with leadership skills, with management skills, and with authority to act. Because in that situation, as I said, very young in my leadership and management journey and didn't really know what my authority was in that particular scenario. The business owner was not in. She was, in fact, on leave at the time. And whilst I knew I was in charge, there had been no discussion about what my level of authority was, what parameters I could work within in relation to managing the team. and what I should do in scenarios like that. Well, I think in fairness, she would never have expected that to be a scenario, but nonetheless, you must invest some time, some energy, some skill in really developing the leaders in your business, because leadership is not a skill that comes naturally to everyone. And even natural leaders, particularly early in their career, they're still really honing that skill and learning how to apply it. And they need guidance and mentorship. And in some cases, you know, going and attending a leadership course can be a fantastic idea. And in fact, I did that at about that time. But I think really making sure that those that you want to be responsible for a team in your business are equipped with the skills in order to be able to effectively manage that team. Now I'm going to move into some trickier areas of the work world, and that is workplace health and safety risks and those that are responsible for maintaining that protection in the workplace and the safety of the workplace and what they can do about that. And I distinctly, this is an example that I'm going to give you from a client that we worked with. And this client had a risky organisation from a workplace health and safety perspective. In fact, we dealt with a workers' compensation claim with this business where the claimant, the employee, was traumatised because she had been chased by a kangaroo as she was attempting to get to her car. This was a workplace that was obviously semi-rural, and there were just a lot of risks. They had helicopters landing on site. They had kangaroos roaming the grounds. They had hospitality venues on site. There were many, many risks. And the problem was that there was no one managing these risks. At one point, it felt like helicopters were literally falling out of the sky, and no one knew when they were landing, where they were landing, and was making sure that both the patrons and the staff were protected and out of the way. Thank God, and touch wood, there was no serious accidents during the time that we were working alongside this particular client, but really having in place the right people that had the skill set to know how to safely protect the place would have been very beneficial, because we spent an undue amount of time dealing with crazy workers' comp, workplace health and safety issues that should never, ever have occurred. And the people in charge just weren't skilled up and didn't have the common sense to make sure that helicopters weren't literally falling out of the sky. On the topic of workers' comp, this is I probably hear more horror stories in this space than anywhere else, if I'm bluntly honest. Now, I remember an incident whereby a gentleman who was on workers' comp from a hand injury was unable to even lift a piece of paper because he was so gravely injured, was caught playing a competitive rugby union match on the weekend and quite aptly able to tackle, catch balls and do all those things they do in a rugby match. I have heard of stories, and thank you to our community who also contributed here, of workers' comp claimants who are unable to work in any fashion and the employer then attending a cafe where they found said claimant working as a chef, clearly not injured. Is instances where people that have been on workers' compensation and unable to lift, being observed to carry large, heavy boxes of paperwork, beers, and other equipment that might need to be lifted on a boat for a weekend boating trip, quite able to do that despite their excessive back injury. Workers' comp is a system that is challenging once you're in there, and the opportunity for fraudulent behaviour is incredible. Those are some of the examples, and there are a thousand more I could give you. But what I want you to take out of this is, if you've got workers' compensation in your business at any stage, you as the employer need to take control of that claim. Get surveillance on it if you're doubting the legitimacy of it, and make sure you control that return to work, because if you leave it in someone else's hand, i.e. the insurers, they're not nearly as invested time-wise in that process, and things can easily slip through the cracks. So very much take control of that yourself. Arm yourself with the right knowledge or get people to help you, because a workers' comp claim can cost your business incredibly. And if you can manage it and you can find things that are inconsistent with the injury, you may very well find yourself with the claim being declined. So some interesting health and safety ones in the mix there for you. We also had some others from our community, and one was when an employee goes completely MIA after taking a holiday. So returned from holidays but decided not to return from work, it would appear. Totally MIA. A medical certificate provided for a few days and then stone cold silence. And it took quite some time to figure out what was going on and ultimately exit the employee. But what do you do in that situation when someone goes MIA? And lots of, you know, there are situations where people go MIA and it can be very difficult to terminate in these circumstances. So what I encourage you to do is make sure in your employment contracts that you have an abandonment of employment clause or have a policy around that, but ideally in your contracts, so that you very clearly set out what abandonment of employment looks like and you've got some parameters to follow, because it is an area of the legislation that is super tricky. And particularly if there's been any form of medical evidence provided about that absence, you can find yourself in limbo for a very, very long time. So making sure you've got a really clear abandonment clause in your contracts or policy that they've signed off on will help you manage situations where an employee decides it's appropriate to go MIA from their job for a period of time. Now, one of my favourite stories to hear about is things that have been caught on CCTV cameras. And yes, this happens. Lots of workplaces these days have CCTV cameras, not necessarily to watch their staff, but mainly to keep their premises safe from theft and robbery outside of work hours. However, can come in very handy when you're catching a staff member out doing something. Now, we have had a load of stories come in relation to things caught on CCTV footage, things certainly that I've heard of and things that our community have contributed. Things along the lines of people getting caught stealing tools or tools going missing from the warehouse. Certainly issues like people smoking in areas that they're not meant to be smoking in. Employees fighting has been caught on CCTV. Interesting one. People watching TV. People doing, you know, things online that they possibly shouldn't be. In fact, one of our community members shared that on CCTV footage, one of his employees was found in the midst of a fairly lewd act somewhere else in the workplace during their work time. Interesting. So CCTV footage can actually be really helpful, and you usually will not install it for the purpose of keeping an eye on your staff. However, if you do have CCTV in place for any purpose and you intend or you happen to be in a situation where you're keeping an eye on your staff, you must have a really robust workplace surveillance policy in place. And this is important because if an employee does not know that they're being monitored on CCTV, then any evidence you gather may in fact be completely useless to you because they weren't aware and therefore permitting to be monitored on CCTV. So do make sure you've got a great workplace surveillance policy in place that explains that this is company property and you'll be keeping an eye on it. You'll be keeping an eye on what they're doing if you choose to. And 9 times out of 10, I can tell you that the employers that have witnessed this have not intentionally been logging in to look at what their employees are doing. They've logged in to check where the stock level was at in the factory, or they've logged in to check whether a certain van was back from a job so that they could allocate it elsewhere. So there's all different reasons people use CCTV, but the side benefit of some of the things you catch is quite amazing. Now, of course, we've got a couple of old chestnuts that have been around quite some time. The old fridge bandit. Anyone know one of those? The people that decide it's appropriate to steal everyone else's food out of the communal cupboards, fridge, freezer areas of the business. I don't know that there's a particular tool I can give you here to fix this problem other than labelling, but it dumbfounds me that people think that that's okay, yet we hear it time and time again. Just eating someone else's lunch, using someone else's stuff that they've got. I find it boggling that people think that that's appropriate, yet that is common and still occurring. And the more recent common issue that we've seen, of course, is employees thinking it's totally appropriate to complain about work on social media. Now, of course, if you've got a great social media policy, this will absolutely help to limit this or for you to be able to manage this when it happens. But employees are getting pretty smart at this. They're saying things that don't directly link it to their work, but you know full well that it is. They don't identify their workplace, so there can be no sort of tracking of that, but you know full well that it is. Like an employee that posts on Facebook just before they walk into work, Oh, I wonder how bad today is going to be. They're not saying that they're walking into X, Y, and Z workplace and therefore indicating your business in that post, but you know they've walked into work making a complaint about work. Now, as I said, a great social media policy will go so far to assist you with making sure that, you know, your business reputation isn't harmed here. But beyond that, actually keeping an eye on social media can be really helpful because seeing those things, even if your business isn't implicated, can tell you where an employee's head's at, that they've become disengaged, and you can look more closely at managing them in other ways. So the good old social media is becoming the key. It's almost taking over some of the others in the common issues that we see. As I said, I just wanted to give you 10 today as a bit of lighthearted fun. Perhaps you've had a laugh. Perhaps you've thought, oh my God. Perhaps you've thought, actually, I've heard or I've experienced worse than that. And if you have, please reach out and let me know because I would love to hear them. Today's episode wasn't intended to be bagging out employees in any way, but it was intended to be a bit of lighthearted fun to show you that when you're dealing with employees, sometimes things do baffle us and shock us. And we find things just totally amazing. And sometimes we need to have a little laugh at it because that's the only way we can get through the day. And with all the seriousness going on, I thought a little laugh might be in order today. So I hope you've enjoyed that brief little intermission of serious HR for a little bit of banter and fun and humour. Now, as I've mentioned, that some of the stories from today's episode have come from our community, and I won't be sharing their businesses or their names for obvious reasons, but we do have a community on Facebook, which is for business owners, for leaders and managers who need some support with their HR. They have teams and perhaps need some guidance or technical advice on HR matters from time to time, and also want to connect with other business owners that also employ staff and lead teams and share ideas and experiences and help each other out with what's worked and what hasn't. So if you would love to be a part of that community, that would be fabulous, and we'd really love to have you there. The community is called Team Footprint. It is a free Facebook group that you are very welcome to head on over and request to join. Only a couple of very basic questions and we'll let you straight in there. So if you head over to Facebook groups and go to Team Footprint, that's where we are. But I will put a link to that in today's show notes, which you will find over at peoplepoweredbusiness.com. And if you click on episode number 23, you'll find the link to the Facebook group there. Now, I hope you found today a little bit different, a little bit interesting, and perhaps even a little giggle along the way. Next week, we'll be back with a further episode, probably back to our more technical HR side of things next week. But we look forward to bringing that to you. In the meantime, you have a fabulous week. And I really look forward to speaking to you next week on the People Powered Business Podcast. Take care.